Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat to create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hey, everyone. Welcome. I'm so glad to be here with all of you today. Welcome, Tamara. Got back from out of town. That's great. If you're new in the chat, you can stay as a guest. If you would like to interact in the chat or ask questions from the chat, you just need to make a quick profile, or if you already have a profile, log in with Blog Talk Radio. Hi, listeners, everyone listening later on the archives, as well as I see lots of people with questions in the queue on the switchboard, and that's great. I will be getting to readings, as I love to do. And want to say hi. Hey, Denise, welcome from Australia. Want to say hi and a etheric hug to everyone that listens later via iTunes, FM Player, or is it Player FM, TuneIn Radio, and all the others. It's great to be here with all of you. So for all things Awakenings, email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. We've been getting, we don't check the Facebook so regularly, the messages, but every now and then we do, but it's not consistent. So please, 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 please email. I know it's kind of, you know, now that's the new snail mail, I guess. It's just easier to keep things balanced. Speaking of that, just a couple of things I want to share. I do have a couple, three email questions I want to answer. I want to address some people that ask some questions on the Awakenings community page. Join us there too, you guys. You can, you know, sign up or whatever, like Awakenings with Michelle Meshe. That'd be great. That, you know, kind of show the love there and connect in. But the Awakenings community page, it's just called Awakenings. Some really great people post there, some really great insights and really sharing what they're going through. I love it. I love it. I love it because people are keeping it real and being honest about what they're going through and what helps them, what doesn't help, what helps them. And I don't have a lot of time to devote to that page, so it's kind of just taken, you know, it's with whomever, but I got to tell you, there's some really great connecting there. And you'll get some insights, just like in the chat, which, by the way, I've got to give a shout-out to the chat from May. She said, please give a shout-out to the chat, Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, and all the listeners. I feel the love, even though I can't listen live because she has to work. So I love that. I love that people acknowledge what makes the ingredients of the show, you know. And speaking of that, I want to share with everyone, and I'm kind of clear the air, clear up and I'm not the only one that goes to this. When I had my TV show, Fashion and Beauty, when I had that, I had to do that every now and then, and you see other hosts have to do this. This really is a collective. It's a community. And as such, it's not about me or what I think is great or what I should do. I listen. I say this all the time. Those of you that have been, we've been traveling this road for not just months, but years. You hear me say this over and over and over, and it's true. I could show you the emails. I keep almost, I'm better at keeping them now. Years before, I didn't keep them as much, but I used to print them out. So that tells you how long we've been on. Hardly anybody prints anymore or then scans, right? So when I have people, enough people saying, Michelle, we'd love your guests, but please, could you talk more, or could you do more readings, or we'd like your insights at the beginning of the program, I listen. It's not just one person, two people, not 10. It's, I hear it over and over. So I go, oh, okay, there's a format change. We used to be only half an hour. People say, oh, that's not enough time. Could you do an hour? Yes. Then it was an hour and a half. the guest the whole time or the bulk of the time. You know, certain people we get requests, could they be on longer? Could their time be longer? I listen. Those of you know who those guests are. So I'm not really running the show. I may be organizing a little bit here and there. And I'm, you know, I may look like I'm at the helm, but we're all co-creating this. So I do get certain people saying this guest I don't really like, or this, you know, or this one was said something wrong. We had, remember, a guest that was very pejorative. They were kind of condescending, and people talked about in the chat. And I agree, you guys were right. So you know, again, there's no grand poobahs here. So, you know, we've had, can so-and-so come on again, or can you book this person? So then I do. If you don't like the guest, that's great. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your feedback. But please do understand that if I am doing something on this program, it's not just because I want to do it. It's because 10, 50, 100 people, 100 emails have come in already stating this, or people have, you know, that either work with me or I've done workshops with, or they hear me go for a speaking engagement, they come up and say. So one of the things that people have said, and you, and I'm getting better about this, was that I don't say enough of what I'm doing. You know, like, okay, go to my blog, or I have this meditation, that meditation. And somebody, I recently got an email, somebody saying, oh, you give too many links, you don't get to the readings. You know, I know, I want to hear your insights. Well, it's all of it, and it's a bit of a balancing act. Some of you forget, a lot of people listen only by phone or by archive. They don't have time to be going and finding, where's Michelle's website? They've told me, please give us, that's why I always give the guest website, and last, even usually in the beginning of the program, or when we're interviewing, you know, I'm interviewing them, or we're having the dialogue, awakening dialogue. A lot of you guys are not on the computer. You're listening by your phone. You're getting it on iTunes. You've told me, I don't want to have to go through and Google you, and where's your YouTube? What about your blog? You mentioned a blog. So I do it all the time as much as possible. I try to keep it conversational, but, you know, I'm trying to get better at it. So I appreciate some of you that are not part of it, haven't been in the community a long period of time. You just heard about the show. You want the insights. Give me the reading. Give me the insights. I got it. That's great. But I think you also have to come a little bit forward from gratitude and appreciation and humbleness and just go with the flow, that not every program is going to be exactly what you want every minute of the day. I have great shows that I watch on Netflix or great movies. I don't like every single part of it. Maybe sometimes I don't even like the wardrobe that somebody's wearing, or the character is now driving me bonkers because they're too victim-y. But that's the show. So it goes for life and relationships. You're not going to get things 100%. I've had people even say, okay, she doesn't get to all the listeners. I was waiting in queue. Sometimes we between 20 to 50 people waiting in the queue. I'm trying to monitor talking regularly and tuning in, but when you're doing a psychic reading or channeling, you lose track of time. It's like I get in that person's world, and if they're very open, it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm all over. Even clients that work with me privately, they'll go, Michelle, you're going over time. I want to respect your time. I'm so in the now moment that I'm not thinking, oh, my God, I've answered two questions, or it's 10 minutes, or it's whatever. So that's why I say, you know, you can always, you know, email, you know, come back next week. You know, it's not like I'm going to finish things next week. It's like, okay, if I didn't get to you, it's not because I didn't want to get to you. It's because time ran out. We had to go to the guest. So I'm balancing. Some people want to hear more of me talking. Some people want me doing less readings. Okay. Some people want more readings, callers. Okay. Some people don't, you know, so I'm really balancing it all by what everybody says. And so I don't think it's a big deal if you hear my links. Because, by the way, I can show you the emails. I've gotten so many emails. You always forget to tell us when the workshop is. I didn't really. Even these are people that get my monthly psychic forecasts and energetic happenings. They don't have time. People don't always read everything. So they think, okay, if Michelle has something going on, she's going to mention it at some point on Awakenings. I'll hear it, and then I'll go do the research. So, yeah, everybody, we got to all not only just get along by moving into the sacredness of everybody's life, use common sense and go, I wonder why this chick keeps doing it this way. Why is she mentioning her blog or YouTube channel or join on Facebook? Because people ask me to. I didn't do it in the beginning. I didn't do it in the beginning at all because I would forget and I didn't think it was important. And then I was forgetting more. So, but I got to tell you, I love people saying their opinion and speaking their truth. So please always say that. I addressed this by email, but I want to kind of give it a blank email, a blank over the air message as well. So that, people will know. Let's see, Tamara, this show has been building on a beautiful energy for yes, it has. And it's, a lot of people have noticed that I'm, some of you have seen I'm doing other shows. I was on Conversations with Maria Menounos on SiriusXM. I'm going to be doing some other things on that channel and different channels. I'm doing first Fridays of the month, although I'm going to be on next Friday at Good Morning La La Land. It's a live show. I'm going to be sharing my insights and doing readings. And so the show's working. You guys that don't want to listen, you can unsubscribe and you say, oh, you mentioned too many links or what that you have these workshops going on. Can't the people go to your website or can't you put it in the show description and just say it's in the show description? No. And I'm going to reiterate why. Because not everybody is on a computer or they're on the device. They don't want to go. They don't want to take the time. There's a reason they're listening to a radio show. They want to hear it in the body of the radio show. And if it piques their interest or they have the time or the resonance, then they'll research it. And I get that. I'm busy. I don't want to, when I'm hearing something, I had no idea there were so many complainers. No, only two. But if there's two, I want to clear the air. There's only been two. But I want to share, because I think people think a lot of times I'm just doing stuff because I just think of it and I just go, I'm very autocratic, I'm going to do it this way or that way. And it's not. But at the same time, I do want to give people the green light. I do appreciate when people take the time out. And I do make the adjustments. I just want to let people know there are certain areas where I can't make the adjustments, Thank you, Denise. I just want to say, I'm not mad. I just want to say, I think if people have to take the time to write, I want to give them understanding. And I did write them back via, say, our producer. And I'm not mad. I just want to say, kind of think there's a reason. But at the same time, I really want people to feel free enough and comfortable and confident enough to share their opinion or insights. Because I will take it to heart, And some of them are, right by what they're saying, especially about certain guests. But again, This is a co-creation for everybody, and I think it makes it more fun and interesting. Okay, enough of that. And by the way, on that, get my blog at soulplayground.life and find out about the teleworkshops I have coming up on mysticism, and we're going to be doing another round starting the end of this month of Liberate Your Life, Releasing the Core Belief. And again, for those of you listening, if you want to watch videos or get more information on meditation, you can go to my YouTube channel, LightBeing21. There you go. Okay, so we had a question from Melissa about her chart. To do a whole chart, it's better for me or give insights on a chart. It's better to make a private session, which you can contact info@soulplayground.life for that. However, you did mention your Saturn return, and Saturn is in little Cappy right now. So that can kind of apply to everybody if you're going through a Saturn return or re-return, especially your first one. Saturn sets you up. It's about structure. It's about time. It's Chronos, right? Father time. I got to give a shout out to my wonderful people, the guests in the chat. Yes, and lovely, my lovely community people holding the space. Welcome and hugs to everyone in the chat. They ground the energy. That's why May gave them a shout out. So some people realize it takes a village. So where do the Saturn is with this particular person, Melissa, and I noticed also that it's conjuncting your moon. That could be a little bit testy. That could be, you know, hold your emotions back or your understanding of your emotions till as you get older. You know, might be a bit of a mystery or might feel a bit cut off, or you might have felt your mother maybe didn't understand her as well, or she didn't understand you, or feeling more cut off, as the moon is not just emotions but mother. But in a bigger point of view, that Saturn and Cappy in the ninth house tells me somehow the changes in your life that are, you're coming upon are going to have to do with how you even view life, your philosophy, maybe the ability to tap into higher consciousness or higher mind or get the bigger point of view, right? So you're setting the philosophy that's going to serve you. So you probably are going to be wanting to do a lot of workshops, seminars, maybe go hear speakers or read a lot of books on maybe spirituality, philosophy, maybe Buddhism, you know, since it's more of a philosophy than a religion. But how do you navigate through your life? You know, what's your view? Okay, so that ninth house is the broader view. Sometimes it can be bring trips overseas. Sometimes it can bring you around different people that are what you might say not the same culturally or foreign to you, or you're learning about the other, but it would be through a cultural stance. We've got a great astrologer, divine mystic, in the chat, so if you have anything you want to throw out here. And Capricorn has to do with structure and the earth. You know, it's Pan, it's the devil, it's the little billy goat. It's either what enslaves us or what frees us. That's really important when you're looking, and even at if you're looking via the tarot, the idea of the devil, it is the earth plane. But sometimes we become too materialistic or too earthed, and we lose the idea of our connection to the mystical, you know, that which we can't see. You know, if you're too mired in the material plane or only the tangible, what you can see, we lose faith, right? We don't trust in the unseen. We don't trust, oh, divine, this is giving us, okay, cool. That's good. Okay, hearing it from her because she's a really good astrologer. So I would look at that, and those of you that are having your Saturn return or aspects to Saturn, it, you know, it's again, they call it the taskmaster only because I say Saturn holds your feet to the fire until you get the lesson. But it's not about punishment. It's about you need this information or you need to restructure this. It's a lot of times Saturn, the first Saturn return, well, there's one, what about, right, 14, I think, 11, 12, 14, 13, 14, something like that, which depends what kind of household you have. Well, it first tells you how you're going to navigate through whatever you're going through. And then, you know, that every 20, 27 and a half, 29 to 32, depending how many years, depending how many times it's retrograding. Mine retrograded a lot, but my Saturn return was great. It set up a lot of great stuff for me. But that's the key. It's setting you up. It's about structure. And I would say with any transit, work with the energy, but especially with Saturn, because if you try to fight it, it's like rolling yourself up in a ball of yarn. You just get tangled up. Once you learn to go with the energy, and it can bring some kind of melancholy sometimes because you have to really look and go within. Sometimes there's a lot of delays, but if you look at it and go, wow, I'm structuring, I'm learning something new, and I'm structuring my view of life and how I live life in a way that's really going to support me, that's really going to be a better support And there's always the work purpose there. It's going to help you be more you in the world and do what you need to do. And this is also where your gifts come in, especially, you know, the 27 and a half to about 32, whatever, 29, 30, you know, that back and forth. Right in that, you're going to really, it's really laying down not just seeds, there's blossoming, but the tracks, the bridge, the steps as to where you're going and why. So I would say don't try to rush through it. You know, work with it, and it'll work with you. Okay, and then the shout out, then we had another question really quickly. La la la. Dream question from Caitlin. A reoccurring dream. Now, reoccurring dreams are saying that you're working on this piece in your, you know, beta consciousness, your regular consciousness, and it's coming from the soul via the higher self to point things out to you. And sometimes you will have a reoccurring dream for a long time and then not again, and then you go through some things in life and it comes back either in the same way or slightly different way. I just had that. And sometimes it's showing you where your inner consciousness is. Where's your inner psyche? What's going on in your inner psyche? What's shifting or what do you need to look at? So this one is the first that I'm in an ocean and I keep getting pounded by waves. As soon as I get my head above water, another wave comes and sweeps me under and holds me. And then I finally get air for just another wave to do the same thing. It's very cyclical. The second dream is that I'm lying on the ground feeling paralyzed, and this is kind of both similar, and a bunch of snakes are coming at me wrapped around some type of pole or tree figure. This dream felt way too real, and I was filled with so much fear that I woke up screaming, jumped out of bed, and tried to run away. I got it. I had a snake dream. I think it probably was my early or to late 20s that was so real. Those dreams, I got to tell you, are a shamanic blessing. And that what that means is from spirit, from the other side. It means you're going through or about to go through such a transformation. You're shedding some old skin. You're getting a deep, deep healing. And what I would suggest is with that one is that you do dream reentry. You get yourself in a meditative state or before you're going to fall asleep, reimagine, bring the dream back to you. And let the snake wrap around you, and you'll be surprised what happens. Invite the snake in. I would also suggest look up snake, look up the death card in, also the tarot has a lot to do with that. But it is about shedding and it is healing. The snake is the caduceus, right? In medicine, there's a snake that goes up the staff, right? So it's a transformative energy, and you're getting it. It's like a lucid fashion. You're getting it not just mentally, but you're getting it vibrationally through the vibration coming through the dreams. Dreams also are vibratory. They have vibration. So, and the fact that it's scary is showing that it's getting you. And it's wrapping around that pole or that tree. It's wrapping around to hold it in place, okay, so that you can really get the message. So welcome that back in. Now, it's interesting. The first one is the ocean, and that's the emotion. So you're getting pounded. So that's telling me there's some deeper healing work, and that ties in with a snake of an emotional level and getting more in touch with your emotions and even seeing the emotions as passion. Where can you have more passion, more joie de vivre in life? Where can you tap into that and really let yourself go there? Because you just get another wave, you know, getting pounded sweeps you under and you finally get air. Well, what is air? Spirar. Inspiration, right? Inspirar is to breathe in, and it literally translates to breath of God, okay, if you look at it. And the aspirar, aspiration, is we release it. So we inspirar, we get inspiration. We connect into spirit, the God, the all that is, whatever, higher universe. We connect into that. We get our insight, our inspiration, and then we do something with it. We write a poem, we share something, we start a business, we do inner work, we work on our healing, we work to help or heal others, we create something, we make something, the aspiration. Very powerful too with recurring dreams, and it shows you what your soul wants you to work on right now. This is the area for you to heal, to access more of your soul light and soul energy. Beautiful, beautiful dream. Okay, everyone. So we're going to get to callers now. And if you've been in the chat or you just are surfing in and you're going, what show is this? Callers, what's happening? If you'd like a reading or you'd like to just chat or share, you have your own insights. I'd like to hear where everyone's at on their path also. So let me know. That number is 347-539-5122. And please press 1 on the keypad to get on air. We're going to try to make it to just one question each, because we do have our awakening guest coming on 12:45, 12:50. And today we have Tiger Khan. You can find out more information about her at TigerKhan, K-A-H-N.com. We're going to be talking about her book, Intuition, Language of the Soul, and also about being born with two souls. Very fascinating individual. I'm looking forward to connecting with her and finding out all about her. So we'll just try to keep it to that, and I'll try to keep my energy in and not float out too far. And that number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad. And our first caller is 201-864. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. Hello. Thank you.
Hi, welcome. What's your first name?
My name is Rose.
Hey, Rose. Welcome. Question
thank
or
you.
Comment?
Question.
Yes.
I'm working on a temporary assignment, which is coming to an end very soon. And I want to know, what do you see for me with regards to work and money?
I see another assignment. This is your thing coming to the end. I hear there's another one. So have you been working more contract or project-based? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, but I'm looking for a direct hire job with benefits, but you see another temporary job?
I do for the now. Okay, so now you're asking that because I don't feel you out of work for a long period of time. You will have something this year, I do feel, with benefits, because I do see you going through kind of a lengthy interview process, back and forth, but I don't feel that in the next couple of months. I feel like there's a couple other assignments that come in, and then I feel it's either word of mouth, or it could be somebody you worked with already. Are you working with an agency of some sort?
Yes.
Yes, okay, because I do feel it's going to come from them, and I feel either they're going to say this could turn into something permanent, or it will be a permanent position. And I do see you getting the position. You're going to already have something that you're temporarily working on. You're going to go in for this. So it's not too far off, and it's definitely coming from the agency.
Okay, but you
they
see
like,
a couple
they
of
like,
months. It's not going to be
the first thing. No, I see the first thing that I heard was there's another one coming. You said something's closing. I can't even remember what you said. You said something like it's coming to an end. And I saw another position coming
okay,
up right away.
Okay, it might be soon then, right after this one. I hope so, because it sounds like it's going to be something temporary that will lead to permanent work.
I don't know if it's this one. I feel like there could be one or two more that are temporary. And then
uh-huh.
you get a call. It's either going to be something that you worked on with somebody else already, another company, and they're looking to place now. Or
okay.
it's a new company. All I know is it comes from the agency because I can see you getting the call. I can see you in the office. I can see you going in the other place office. And I can hear you saying, oh, I would do that. Oh, yeah, I would do that. And they either say it's going to lead to it's temporary now or leading to placement, or they're trying to find where, you know, I don't know, I feel like they're restructuring the company or something. Or they say, oh, they want you back now. They're looking at something, you know, full-time.
Well, the company that I'm presently temping at, I applied for a permanent position with them. But do you...
Oh, well, there could be that. I don't know. I got to go to my next caller, though. But it could be that. Just write down the scenario just write down the scenario that I gave you. And
right.
that's going to give you the clues, or re-listen to what I said, and that's going to give you the clues as to what it is. It's from the agency.
Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome, Rose. Thanks for calling in. Already happening, obviously. Okay. Hi, 352-317. You're on air.
Hello.
Hey.
This is Cindy. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Cindy. Thanks for calling in.
I've been enjoying your show. I have a question about a financial situation. I was wondering if you could tell me when that settlement will come in. There's been delay after delay after delay, and just wondering where to see.
Okay, let's see. And say it again, the question again. You're looking for what now?
A financial settlement.
And you're getting delays with?
Delays by the other party. Trying to get it. Yeah, delays by the other party. I'm waiting. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. This is money's owed?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Okay, hold on. Oh, yeah. And I'm getting delay after delay. Can you put them on a payment plan or something? I feel like they owe you a bulk. It's going to be very difficult for you to get that bulk.
No, they're not on a payment plan. I have an attorney that finally filed it in court because they've just been joking around.
And they're going to. You've got to. You've got to do that. Otherwise, I see delay after delay. You're going to actually have to go to court and get them on some kind of payment plan. There's your answer. Otherwise, they're going to, I hate to say it, string you along. I don't know if they perceive they don't have the money. I don't, you know, but if you've gone to court, that's a good thing. If you haven't, I would definitely go, and you need to get it in writing. You need to get them on a plan. Don't think that you're going to get the whole amount all at once, because I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Keep us posted. You're welcome.
Okay.
Big hug.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Hi, 954-614. You're on air.
Yes. Hi, my name is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I had a rough couple of months, and I just want to know if you see things getting better for me. I mean, in every way.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Oh, you have had. Okay. It's testing your faith. Trust that things are going to get better. Faith. Okay. I see. And that was something I wanted to address also, because some people had asked on the Awakenings community page. We had a little spike in energy, but there's been some things dragging and stagnant. I would say for most people, Sharon, for you particularly, I'm going to say April is quite a bit better. But I really feel like the uptick or upswing for you is sprinkled about the summer months, but I feel like after October, November on, you're entering a different cycle where things are just lighter and easier. So that doesn't mean it's going to be difficult. You know, everybody, a little May, June, we've got some retrogrades and Mars, you know, aspects that are going to make some things kind of trying. But for some people, it's going to make it intense and trying, but it's going to push them to their next level, or they may have a lot that they have to do. So you, I do feel things lightening up actually within the next few weeks, which is getting into April. So, but kind of, you're working on faith right now. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, sometimes when you're learning a lesson on a different, deeper level, it's a little up. It's a little up and down. It's a little peaks and valleys. That's what I could say for you. But I do see it getting lighter and better. But I do feel like, I don't know, like this fresh air. It's like all of a sudden you're going to have this turning point, and it's like, oh my God, it's over.
you know, I'm on this upswing. So, yeah, not as bad as the previous couple months or even last year.
Right.
Getting
right,
better.
Exactly.
Getting better. Getting better.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sharon. Blessings to you. Okay. 646-756, you're on air.
Hi.
Hi. Who am I speaking with? Hello, you're
I'm
on
in
air.
New York City. I'm in City,
oh,
New York
welcome.
City. How are you?
You're new.
Thank you.
You're great.
First time calling your show.
Oh, great. What's your first name?
It's Terry.
Oh, Terry. Hi. Okay. What's your
Hi,
question?
Hi, how are you? Just wanted to make sure I believe I am. I'm on the right path. In everything around me right now, I'm just really focusing on myself, trying to iron out some issues when it comes to looking for a new job. Also, let's see here. I don't know. It feels like things are not going the way that it should be, but I believe it's going in the right way for the better. And I just want to make sure that I'm on the right path.
Okay, let's look at that. Terry on the right path. Okay, well, it's definitely showing you're about to, or you're redirecting your energy, your thoughts
yes.
about what's possible. Yes. So that's
yes.
helping a lot.
Okay.
So there could be, are you also looking to move?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, definitely.
That's what I feel, yeah. Because I feel like there could be a move and I don't know about job change right now. It shows you could add something to make the income. I'm almost feeling like the move, you need to be in a different environment. Does that make sense?
I have 1,000%. I am ready to go right now.
Okay. But even I feel like a personal move around you also. So if that's something.
Okay.
Yeah, look to add to the income. I feel like you have some extra time. Look to add to that right now. And
okay.
And then I feel the move is there. And then I feel that you can have a clear headspace to move.
Okay.
Or
and
your job to move the job.
Okay.
I feel like you need to add to what you're doing work-wise.
And, yes,
and
I
also
can do
the
that.
Yes, that's going to serve you well. And then it feels like there's a move. And then I feel like you start focusing on what you want job-wise. And that could be a change, by the way. There could be. I definitely feel like, I don't know if it's a different field. Something. I feel like there's a larger change for you in the workplace.
Okay. So I'm going to get started this one right now. It makes 1,000% yes. Just wanted
so it
to
does make
be
sense.
Sure. Yes, it does.
Oh, good.
It's 1,000%.
Confirmation. Good. Perfect. Keep us posted, Terry. Okay,
I will. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, 347-731. You're on Awakening. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking
Hello.
My call.
You're so welcome. What's your first name?
Maribel.
Maribel?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your question?
So I wanted to know what you saw for me in terms of changing environments. So I was looking
okay.
to look for a new housing situation and if there was any opportunities to do that.
Okay. Now, I feel a little teeny delay. Oh, boy, it does show. It shows power struggles. You've got to get, yeah, you really want. I would look for May, June, maybe like time of Taurus. Is a good time. I don't know, money, there feels to be a little bit of issues. There's other people involved. You have roommates?
At the moment, yes. But
That's
there is like
feel,
an
yeah.
issue with Yeah, there's like a whole issue that's kind of pushing me.
Yes. So you will move on, and you're meant to move on. And I would say either look for something with on your own or one other person. I feel the 3-4 people around you, not good for you. It's too much. And it just shows you don't feel comfortable where you are at all.
Yeah, it's a bit of a toxic environment.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, look for something that is a little more, you have a little more of a safe zone, some people that are more aligned to you. Will you move, and are you meant to move? Absolutely. I'm feeling it a little more further off, and that could be getting finance, that could be finding something, but it's not, I would say by summer is what I'm hearing. I would say by summer, and it could even be May. You know, start now. Release your energy from trying to change them or get them to understand you or get you, right? Can you do that? Just
let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like you're not going to win in this situation. And part of that is I feel there's more than one person. I feel like there's three. So I don't know if it's three including you or three or four, but I feel like there's a group. And the more you push, they're talking behind your back. You know, the more you push, the more there's misunderstanding. In some place, sometimes we can't get the understanding, especially in a group situation, group dynamics, until we're out of it, you know, and we get our own understanding as well as, you know, one or two of the parties within can understand. Once they leave, they can say, oh, my God, it wasn't you, Maribel. It wasn't you. You know, it was so-and-so. I didn't see that before. But for you right now, to change, you just kind of need to move into what's the best way to have less stress for you and everyone at this time. So, you know, being okay to, you know, agree to disagree. Does that help you at all?
Yeah, it does. It's going to be difficult,
good,
though.
I know. Didn't say it was easy. I've been in situations like this, even in work situations. And sometimes, you know, it's just level of consciousness of where people are at. And if they're not actively working on themselves or willing to look, it just degenerates. You know, sometimes people aren't receptive. And sometimes that's the learning lesson. You know, I've shared some situation years ago with a neighbor that I had that I was trying to get to, you know, for to be happy and positive. And when I moved in, the other neighbor said, oh, it's not going to work. Just leave it. So sometimes it's us learning to just leave something and learn how not to take it as personal, even though it hurts, but looking at, okay, that this is what they're going through because of, you know, their wounding. Doesn't make it right, but you're in that situation. I feel the more you try to make it better, it's devolving into he said, she said, paths, you know, talking behind people back, and one says this, another says that, and you're not feeling safe. So I just feel you have to just see they're acting from woundedness. See where your woundedness and handle that as well. You know, go to my website, soulplayground.life, and get, you can copy and paste the 5-step emotional clearing process. Clear your issue in this. Clear where you're getting pulled into this, right? What shadow material that you're playing out. You know, get as clear as you can. Use your tools of meditation. Get out of the house more. You know, these kinds of things can help you cope while you're transiting out of the house. All right, Maribel, keep us posted, okay? Hang in there.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Hi, 206-947, you're on air.
Hi, Michelle. It's Debbie. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey! Hi, welcome.
I want to tell you I worked really, really hard financially last year and have been able to put a lot of applications in for housing and at the turn of this year. And so I'm calling to ask you what you see on that.
Okay, let's look. housing. And you were living with people, someone else also, were you not? I feel like there's a...
One.
Living... You were?
One other person.
One other person, okay. And now you're wanting to move out on your own.
I need to.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, well, I still see the work an issue. Okay, that seems to be that you need to get more income in to do this is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
There does feel... This like special housing, you've got an application for something because I do feel it'll come. It takes a while though. You're on a list.
Yes.
Okay. It's not real quick. I mean, let's see. Could it be June? It could be maybe June.
Okay.
But it's saying to focus on the income. It's saying to focus on the income and saving. You're on a list. They're going to call you. I'm not seeing it immediate, though. There's a wait. There's a wait list. There's people before you is what I'm hearing. But the thing is, when we branch out, whether it's volunteering, doing something, you know, being of service, getting in the community, doing other things and work, it starts shifting our energy. It raises our vibrational frequency, so it's easier to draw in more of what we need. So when we get in a slumpy, and I'm glad you called into this program because talking to good friends, calling into programs like this helps raise the vibrational frequency, and it's easier to draw what you need in when your vibrational frequency is raised, right?
Okay. Yes.
You get to get with those magical helpers. All
right,
Debbie. Makes sense for you?
Yes, it does. I appreciate it.
You're so
welcome. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, take care. Okay, let's get, I'm waiting for our guests, but they might be on us. Let's see, who are we? 510-978, you're on air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I want to know, do you see me being approved for SSI?
Okay, what's your first name, please?
Tasha.
Oh, okay.
Tasha?
Oh, yeah.
Tasha,
cool. Okay. Boy, we're getting a lot of delays here. Yes, eventually.
Okay.
So I don't know if there seems to be interviews, paperwork interviews. But it is showing yes, eventually.
And you know around when?
I'm not getting. I mean, it could be as soon as June, July, but it could also be after the summer. It's a lot of people before you.
Okay.
There seems to be either more paperwork and an interview, definitely this year. But there's also contingent on whoever's looking at the list is going also going to be on vacation. So there's some things that are going on in the offices there that affect the productivity. So yes, it'll happen. Hang in there. Again, you're kind of falling into the little delay that's happening.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Much peace.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're so welcome. Okay. Let us see who is. We've got 718-443. You're on air.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. This is Katie.
Hey, Katie. Welcome.
I apparently have the same question that everybody's looking for. Everyone's looking for a job.
Yes, it's on a okay. Well, I either feel like something is in the works or very soon coming in. So I don't know if you recently interviewed for something, but I'm getting almost an immediate with you.
Okay. Literally, when I just was holding, I was emailing. I was literally emailing an agent back to see if he had something. But I went on an interview with another agent. It's the same company, though, last week, and he told me about a position, and I think he submitted me for it yesterday, but I haven't heard back yet.
You're going to get it. You've got an immediate. As soon as you ask the question, it's like, boom, it's coming. So
that's good. That's good. I need a job. Mama need a job.
Good. Yeah. We all do.
Yes, yes. And I'm going to use this money to make my own business so I don't have to depend on a job.
Yes. Good, good. It's good to have multiple sources of resources. It could be multiple sources of income,
mm-hmm.
but you could also say as outlets, creative outlets. You know,
okay.
So I like your
yeah.
idea. I like that idea a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, Katie, cool. Well, keep us posted, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye. Whew, lots more callers. Okay, now it's time for our awakening guest. What I do suggest is I love doing the readings, but as you can see, I try to keep it down to one question, but it gets a little, you know, kind of all over the place. Just saw our guest here, 425. Oh, there she is. Okay. So if you didn't get your question answered, I'm here next week. I will get to you. Right now we have coming on air, as I had said at the top of the program, is TigerCon. And you can find out more information if you're just driving around by going to TigerCon, KAHN.com. And she is a natural-born clairvoyant and clairaudient master teacher with classes on meditation and intuitive development. She's also a direct descendant of legendary healers, miracle workers, prominent Kabbalists of Eastern Europe, and her ancestry, she has traced it back to King David. She's worked with Fortune 500 executives, celebrities, healers, athletes. She's also been in W Magazine, LA's Black Book. She's been featured in the Best of LA, and she's also been on Hay House radio program, and she's also served as the advisor for Tibetan Healing Fund, and she's written a book called Intuition, Language of the Soul, which we're going to be diving into, as well as her past. So I want to welcome to the program, Tiger Khan. Yeah. Hello,
hello,
Tiger.
Can
hello.
You hear me?
I
hello.
Can. Welcome. Hello, you're on.
Thank
air.
You for having me. Yeah, yeah,
yay,
I can hear you.
Tiger, welcome. Yay, 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 yay. Okay. Wow. So, I'm so curious. Really, I love the title of your book.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell us a little bit. You've said direct descendant of legendary healers. You talk a bit about how you got on your path and how you feel, or if you do feel, that ancestrally has this guided your path. Do you feel like there's been some assistance there, or that's, in a sense, maybe your gift has been passed on to you?
That's a wonderful question, and thank you for asking it. So, absolutely. I'm very fortunate in that we have been able to trace our ancestry back for thousands and thousands of years. In my ancestry, they are legendary healers, giants in Jewish history that you can look up, you can see. As a matter of fact, one of my grandfathers, his picture hangs up in a museum in Vienna amongst Rembrandts. Mm. Another one of my, yeah, because of some of the miracles that he was able to be a channel for. The other grandfather helped save an entire town. He foresaw that the Turks were going to invade his ancient town in Transylvania. And he told the community, both Jews and non-Jews, the day that it would happen, and for them to prepare to, you know, gather an army and to go into the synagogue where they would be protected. To this day, you can see three cannonballs lodged in the walls of during that day. There was an attack, but the town was saved. And, you know, and that's just one example of many things that he did. So I'm very aware of this. The other thing, too, is that my father had us very, very late in life. Nowadays, it maybe is not such a big deal, but he started his children at 50. He was a Holocaust survivor. So he knew his lineage very well. So that's number one. The other thing is that I am a colon cancer survivor. I flatlined and I came back. And I was on a particular path, and which my book, Intuition, Language of the Soul, gets into. And this particular path was not right. It was not the right nourishment for my soul, but everything we do, every action we take in life leads us to the next particular path that we have. And the future is dynamic. And because it's dynamic, it changes. But a lot of this has to do with our choices and the choices we make. So when I left this world briefly, because I did not have enough blood, I had lost 3/4 of my body's blood, I had an experience. This experience, I then came back, I reconnected to my lineage, and that was 9 years ago. And but I was born this way. I'm a born clairvoyant. I was very aware from a young age of, you know, my gift and who I came from.
Mm-hmm. Now, what made you decide to look into your ancestry? Is that because the other family members were? Is that something that you felt was important on your path to reconnect?
I was raised. I was raised early on, you know, very much into my ancestry, and then I went on a walkabout and explored much different paths. But what happened, I had been chanting various mantras for years. I was part, you know, I was in a meditation school, and when I was still not getting better on a lot of levels, even though I was helping people and continuing, but I had a lot of issues with the body, as many people do when they just follow a spiritual path and ignore the needs of the body. When I left this world, I heard a mantra, Rabbono Shel Olam, which means Master of the Universe. It was in Hebrew, and I heard it. I had it this entire experience there. I went to a place. I saw gates. I can get into that a little more during the show if you want. When I came back, I started to chant this mantra. Within 24 hours, I was getting blood transfusions. My life was saved. Actually even less than 24 hours. They didn't even know how I was alive at that point. So I had flatlined and sent back. So that reconnected me. Plus, I had dreams for years leading up that I would reconnect back to my lineage. So, and then I studied. And I had, when I was younger, I'd always studied. My father has a library of books on Kabbalah, and I used to sort of sneak them and read them, but he would take them out of my hands. So I reconnected. But I am most definitely here to talk to people about how they can reconnect to what's important and how we are born with two souls, which is something I learned through my experience and through my studies of many, many, many years, because I started when I was really young. And I'd like to discuss that.
Yes, would you please? That'd be great. Now, is that also in your book, Intuition, Language of the Soul? It's that we're born with two souls. Do you go into that, or was
the book? It's run throughout the book. This book took 7.5 years to write. I was writing as I was recovering. 9 years ago, I had my entire right side of my colon removed. At the time, I was in L.A., and I was misdiagnosed with MS. And I kept saying to them, no, it's in my colon. But I said, scope me, you know, to give me a scope. But they said, no, you're too young. You don't fit the profile. I had a dream. The book gets into it. And this dream led me to Seattle. And thank God, because a wonderful Overlake Hospital and a wonderful doctor, Dr. Bob Woman, and an amazing surgeon, may his soul rest in peace, Dr. Herman Martin, they were there, they got it. It was, you know, my life was saved. And that's a whole story and a journey. But I would like to have everybody that's listening right now to take a look at their fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone in the entire world have this fingerprint?
No, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
and
well.
I am a twin, even though we're fraternal. But even identical twins, nobody has the same fingerprint as you. Now, if you just do the math on that, it's infinite. This fingerprint is the Creator's way of showing that you have a special purpose, a special talent, a special ability, and a quality that you can touch the world with. So that's number one. Now, our big question is, how do we connect to our life's purpose? We connect to our life's purpose via the soul. What is the soul? How does it speak to us? It speaks to us by through its language, intuition. But first, we need to understand that we are born with two souls. Our body, we are born with a body and a soul, a physical body. This physical body and our soul that we do not see have two very different natures that are always opposing each other. Now, your body actually has a soul. It has a spirit. And your godly soul, your spiritual soul, has a soul. Your body soul is called the animal soul. We'll call it the animal soul. And it's connected to your instincts. Now, we all need our instincts to survive, but we need our intuition to thrive. Because the body wants to, you know, think about it. What happens when the body's instincts go on overdrive? It starts to denigrate. And we see this through society and the world. And we are living in such a body-directed world that it's all about our instincts to feed ourselves. And the thing is, when it's on overdrive, think of an animal. An animal, if you constantly put in food, it will eat, and even if it's poison, it can't differentiate.
Stop.
Now here, you're born with these two souls that are in conflict with each other. This is a lifelong struggle that we need to accept. Now, what do most people do? They say, oh, I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to ignore the body. I'm going to do, you know, all these meditations. I'm going to go on these crazy diets. I'm going to squash the body and its desires to get in touch with my soul. But that doesn't work very long. And that's why a lot of people, you know, get into trouble. I mean, think about it. When you're on a diet, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about food. So your body is going to, your animal inside is going to wake up and rebel. And then it's this constant swinging, when instead we have to know we're born with this duality. How do we integrate our body and soul? How do we integrate it so that we accept, yes, we have this struggle, but we're going to integrate it? And one of that...
I love what you're saying.
Is, well, I wish I could even say that this was completely original, but I have to say this is thousands and thousands of years old. Pardon? And you can read...
Well, it's just, I think a lot of the separation came from structured religion, the religiosity of, you know, getting, it was all about getting out of the body, almost like we're here punitively. Which doesn't make sense.
I completely disagree.
Right? Oh, I don't.
I will, no, I disagree, and I'm going to tell you why. Some religions do that, but some don't. Listen, let's talk about a core structure.
You didn't hear what it, but
sorry.
Religiosity, if you study religions, a lot of religions, not all of them, but with the religiosity, a lot of them talk about meditating, getting out of the body, self-flagellation, that the body is evil, physical nature or primal nature of us is evil, and it got, trying to be, which is a very old paradigm of to get rid of. And there seems to be more of a movement now of embracing the body, using the body, recognizing that we are embodied here. We do have, as you're saying, this dual nature. So I've been seeing a decided you know, shift. And I didn't say all religions, but the bulk of the main ones, if you study them, do have that premise.
I will speak about Judaism, and I will speak about Kabbalah. I did study Buddhism for 13 years, maybe 14, but I will speak about my lineage because that is the one that I was born into, and that is the one that I practice, and I can help people with this. Number one, it's not about disregarding the body. If anything, Kabbalah talks about how this world is important and that we are here not to so much refrain from the body. We are here to elevate the body through physical actions. And part of that is the only way that we can elevate ourselves is through physical actions. So there's not a separation there. We are here to repair.
No, absolutely not.
Yes, and we need viable channels in order to do that. Where the separation went is to consider that the body is sinful. The body, we came here in a body. We didn't come here in a spaceship. And the other idea, too, is this idea that your soul is born sinful. No, your soul is born pure. What happens is we come here via, you know, we do here, we're reincarnated. Obviously, we've come here before. Judaism and Kabbalah talks about this. We're here to repair past things that we couldn't do before. Now, part of that means that we are here to repair our relationships with ourselves, our relationship with others, and our relationship with our Creator. So how can we do that if we don't use our body? Because what
That's
we do
question.
With our mouth, are they positive? What do we do with our arms, our legs? Every aspect of our body can be used to elevate and brighten up the world. So to just sit, I mean, look, I meditated, and I was with a whole school of people. We could sit and meditate for 4 or 5 hours. But let me ask you something. Somebody that's going in to go help save some lives, I can tell you they're doing a lot more benefit to the world than people just sitting there meditating for several hours. We might have had a great experience, but are we out there fulfilling our purpose? So that's why it is important to get in touch with our soul. It is important to meditate. It's important to pray. But we are here to function in society, in the world. And we can't escape it. If we're going to, you know, and we'll get into trouble. And we come up, and if we try to escape it, we come up empty. Because the bottom line that we should ask ourselves is, how do our actions affect others? What do we take in? Our eyes, our ears, our stomach. People want to get in touch with their intuition and their soul. Okay, well, if you've been on the web surfing for hours, you're eating junk food, you're living a life where you're just constantly feeding yourself information that's negative or a low vibration, what intuition are you going to get in touch with? You've taken your soul, put it in a little bag, and stuffed it in the basement. So that's why most people are completely not in touch with their intuition. And then what happens? They get bad dreams, they get depressed, they get fearful, all these things that happen because they haven't spent a moment considering the needs and the nature of their soul. Just it's all purely their instincts.
And that's a major shift I feel that is happening for many that's already happened, but as it's getting more, I feel, mainstream or more in the collective, is looking at what are the needs of the soul. So looking deeper beyond the ego aspect of our being, including that, but looking beyond that. What would you say, Tiger, is a way that people can start doing this? Because many ways the people you're speaking to, the listeners, they get this, but a lot of times the issue, the trouble is how do I interpret these messages? How do I connect in? You say, you know, intuition is the language of the soul. How do I tap into that? How do I trust that? What would
Perfect.
You say to those
Here,
people?
Here's, I will say, I have a lot to say. So first of all, in my book, I believe it's maybe the fourth chapter, I get into archetypes. So I am able to see the aura. What is the aura? The aura is the light that's of your soul. It is what envelops your physical body. So everybody has, just like their fingerprint, a very particular aura that actually can shift and change depending, again, on our choices. But we're born with a sort of an archetype. So number one is to know your archetype. I get into four major ones in this first book. In my second book, I even delve into more. But the four core archetypes you can read in my book. The second bit is we need to have so once you understand, like, your nature, or even before you understand your nature, let's say somebody doesn't read my book and they don't know their nature, the things that you can do are this. One, number one, before you go to sleep at night, shut down your technical stuff. Don't watch television before you go to sleep. You're being influenced. Prepare for sleep as if you're preparing for the day. And why am I starting with sleep? Because we, in society, we don't really rest. We don't take time. Because then I'm going to get into an ancient cycle of rest in a moment. But we don't take time to collect ourselves. So before you go to sleep, like, start to shut off. If it takes you a month to train yourself to do that, then do that. Put something in yourself that is positive. The other thing is spend a moment. If you have to begin with just looking at your finger, know that there is a creator. Know that there is an energy that is running throughout the universe. Einstein himself said, God does not play dice with the universe. Okay? So once you have, just even for a moment, an understanding that there is an infinite intelligence that has a divine plan for you, then already you've opened your soul up a little. You're starting to give it some nutrition. The other thing, which is very important, so once you've opened yourself to this idea, just even contemplated it, there is an aim, that's already like your soul like woke up. It has an awareness. Because what we want to do is have a connection. We want to start a higher connection. The other thing is there is an ancient cycle. It's called the Sabbath, the Shabbat in Hebrew, Aramaic, Shabbat. What is that? It's an ancient cycle that begins on Friday evening with people that are not Jewish or do not want to do a 24-hour, you know, rest, and we're going to explain what that is. Then you can do Sunday. But whatever it is, one day that you truly rest. You celebrate both your body and soul. You shut off and you connect. And just by the physical connection of being able to connect with your loved ones, and if you're single, invite people over for a meal. My book really gets into other details of the Sabbath and what you can do, you know, but you have to do it consistently. And then all of a sudden, your cycle on the sixth day, you know, in the evening, Friday night to sundown, we open with light, we close with light. We light candles, we open it with light, and then Saturday night when three stars come out in the sky, we also light a candle, we close with light. But this idea is that you're not running around on the weekends to do your errands, to do your shopping, to do your this, or to just surf the net or whatever, the go, 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 go. All that's going to do is make us nervous. So we need to rest, and we need to connect with others, even if it's just 24 hours one day. So you don't have to go off somewhere, you know, to go meditate. You can do it in your home. You make one day a week special. Think about it. Why do people like Thanksgiving? Everybody, a lot of people like Thanksgiving or Christmas or holidays, right? They get together with the family or loved ones. What is that? Once or twice a year? And then that turned into something like where it became just about like shopping and buying and et cetera, et cetera. Where are we getting in touch with our soul? We're community orientated. Okay, whether we like it or not, we are all connected. So one, I recommend a weekly Sabbath. Two, we're all in, so many people are in the gym. The gym, the gym, the gym, the gym. Great, fine. But you know what? We need oxygen. We need fresh water. We need to connect with things that are not man-made. So I say to everybody, if you can, a minimum, 3 times a week, go out, take a walk somewhere in nature, even if it's a city park, and start to observe. There's a tree. There's a bird. There's a sky. Connect to what is natural. Do this for 30 days. And then, of course,
connect to what's natural.
Yes. Connect to what is natural. What were you going to say?
No, I do, and I'm looking in the chat. Some people are saying, and often weekends have a bunch of tasks needed to be done. I like this idea, quiet time and not rigidity. No, I do quite a lot of walking. I so agree with what you're saying. I think it's so important. People don't do it enough. And even once a week, I try to do something daily, but I have a little dog, so that also is incentive. But
yep.
being
mm-hmm.
immersed in nature and hiking, like Temescal Canyon, there's certain places that I'll go. But yeah, this is really hitting it with the people in the chat.
And then I will continue if I may.
Yes.
So,
go back to something we had a question about the rest. What do you mean by the rest? Is that not doing anything?
Well, so here's the thing with Shabbat, actually, because it, no. Because we are, that wouldn't work for us. But here's what rest means. No. So let me tell you one way of doing Shabbat, and remember, everybody will do it in their own manner. But the traditional way, and that even turns into, again, your own manner. So Friday night comes. Before Friday night, you prepare a meal. You're going to have Friday night dinner. You put a tablecloth over the table. I like to do white because white separates. It separates the table from the rest of the week. It elevates. The whole idea during this rest period is that you are elevating. You are sanctifying your body and spirit. You're pulling it in with love. In Kabbalah, it even talks about, you know, welcoming the female aspect of God, because in Kabbalah, we believe that God is both male and female together. It is an energy, you know, and so you welcome in the female aspect of God. So you put in a nice white tablecloth. You have your meal cooked. If you're single, invite somebody. You should not be alone during this rest period. And it's when I say rest, I mean you withdraw into an island of time, okay? It's like an island, your own little island in your house. So then you light candles before the sun goes down, and you say a prayer. You connect. You connect to a higher power. Then you have your meal the next day. Traditionally, people will go to a service. If they don't go to a service, they study higher teachings, they go for a walk. They, you know, traditionally it speaks that you have 3 good meals during this 24-hour period. You know, that usually is prepared beforehand. You know, people use crock pots, they do all kinds of things. But the idea is you unburden yourself from the demands and strains of the everyday week. You go for a beautiful walk. You read, if you want to read a book that you normally wouldn't read during the week, go read. You relax. You relax, you feed your body and soul, and you elevate it through sanctity. That's the idea. So it's not like you just sit there and you go to sleep. If you want to sleep, you go to sleep too. But that's it, and you turn your phone off. unless there is some major reason why you need it on, if, let's say, you're a doctor on call, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know what I mean? But the idea is you withdraw. You create this island of time. Doesn't that sound wonderful?
Yeah.
Think about what people have to do. Oh, I'm going to go to Hawaii. And you do it every week, and you can do it in your own home. How beautiful is that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. No, I do. And you can feel it. You can see energy is palpable when you do that. You feel this, you know, psychic, the soul energy, the prana. You feel the chi, the grace.
Yes.
And you feel that, right? You're in this womb of it. It's amazing.
Because
and it builds up over time.
Mm-hmm. You will see that it actually, because then what happens is your body's being fed, but it calms down. It's like if you have, anybody that has animals know that your animal will let you know when it's unhappy, right? And so the thing is through all kinds of things. But when your body is rested, it's fed, so now your soul can rise, can move. You know, some people even like to dance on Friday night. They get in touch. But the idea is no television, no filling your stuff up. Don't watch the news. I mean, forget about it. Do you have any control over it anyways? So that is a very important part about connecting to your soul. And again, we are everybody is different. We have different archetypes. And so we are going to connect. So for instance, in my book, I talk about four major ones. One, the mentalist.
Okay.
This is an innovator of thought. And they approach the world through their mind. Two, and it wasn't exactly in this order, the spiritualist. Okay. They connect worlds. They see the connection running through everything. They have a particular way of relating to the world. The other is the athlete, transformation of physicality. And I'm going to tell you a little secret about the athlete that a lot of people don't know. How many times have you ever seen somebody in Microsoft get down on one knee to pray before a meeting? Do we see this?
No.
But I'll tell you, the athlete can be one of the most spiritual out of all the archetypes. They have, why? They've been given this body, this really strong body that they can go out and do things with. Now, in the athletic archetype that I have, I put down first responders. You know, they have that same physicality. So if you use your physicality to do good in the world, to help others, that intuition is going to grow. I work with a lot of, people that have been ex-vets. And a lot of them vets. They'll say that, veterans, my instinct was, maybe I better not go down that, you know, that path, it's dark, it's this, it's that, right? You know, it was there instinctually, I'm going to die there. But my intuition said, no, go through there. You know, if they're on a, you know, they're out to help somebody, and their intuition was what saved their life. Well, God did, but you know what I'm saying, it was their intuition.
Yeah.
But the point about the...
But they listened,
yes,
right?
They have to, because they have a purpose. They're strongly connected to their purpose. So that's the thing. When we are strongly connected to our purpose, then we are going to be intuitive. So that's the thing. So the athletes, I love working with athletes. And the athletes also are the ones that usually get themselves in the most trouble. I mean, we all get into trouble, but they really can do it because, you know, they have these very strong physical needs. So you put the right catnip in front of them, boom, 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 the soul goes out the window. But so I really love working with athletes because it's like off they go, you know,
well,
out the door.
Channel, yeah, but that's true. That's true.
Yeah, it's like Elvis. They left the building. But and then we have the artist archetype, and the artist is a person that's very creative. Their aura is really interesting because their aura has got multicolors. It's like the artists themselves. They can be all over the place. Now, the artist can be very, very inspirational. I mean, think about some of these great artists. that have led to, you know, such higher thought. And you can be more than one, by the way, archetype. You can be a mixture of two. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, but the thing about the artist is, you know, sometimes they can go through depression. They can be very self-destructive. So in my book, I get into ways, you know, specific ways to handle each type. And the other thing that I suggest to people is to listen to classical music to uplift your environment. Why? Because sound actually comes from a dimension. Sound is a dimension.
Yeah.
So when we elevate our surroundings with something more refined, and when I say refined, something that makes our minds think, are gentle, we can, you know, not so hard on ourselves, you know, with all like noise. We live in a very noisy, noisy world. We have accepted the humming of machines and this and that and generators and things and buildings and everything. We are living in a very unnatural way. So that's one of the other reasons why everybody's getting sick. We need fresh air. We need time to quiet our souls. We need to connect with each other, and we need to have understand that intuition is the bridge between the body and soul, and my book really gets into even more ways on how to connect with your intuition.
Love this, Tiger, and I love what you're saying. I really feel that the message, too, about the pulling back, that psychic spiritual cocoon, and because that's not just regenerative, but I do agree with you, it helps people attune to listen, to really hear what their soul wants to say, and out of the noise. You know, it's interesting what you said about that, because receiving impulses. I recently was doing this group, this program, and I meditate a lot. I'm in that state a lot. I did not realize how much I had been affected. So I'm sharing this with everybody because it's the lifestyle I live, and I realized how greatly I was affected by stuff that was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
A movie, a television, driving in the car. So I got more into just letting, not just on the times of the week when I'm doing that, but throughout the day, having more silence. You know, not something in the background, mm-hmm. or if I'm driving, not even music, just to hear. And I realized I had all this space, and I was, oh my God, there's this huge space once I, you know, as you say, this stuff is coming in, and I think people don't realize how much is coming into us, right, and affecting us. I think that was.
And also, you're very sensitive. You're very sensitive, of course. I mean, how could you not be doing the work that you do? So, because you're so sensitive, you have to be very aware what your eyes take in, what your ears take in.
Yes.
What, you know, I mean, and that's the thing. So, you know, we're more aware of what our stomach takes in, or at least that's what's, you know, what our physical bodies, which is true. That's very important. But remember, what is your soul seeing? Some people are more sensitive than others. And that's the thing. So when we go to bed at night, in my book, I get into about dreams. There's a small dream dictionary in there. But, you know, the reason why so many people have so many bad dreams is because they're sensitive and they're taking in garbage all day. And then what? They go to bed at night. That's the soundtrack and the movie that's going to play. The other thing is, according to Kabbalah, there's a portion of your soul that's always in the upper world. When you go to a portion, the soul has many different aspects to this, but this portion of your soul is connected in the upper world. So when you go to sleep, you go up there to reconnect. Now it's you go up there to reconnect, and it's very hard if you're so bogged down. You know, you're eating a heavy meal before you go to sleep, you watch some crazy scary movie, you know, the whole thing. You know, you don't really connect with that higher portion of your soul. You're too bogged down with all the layers. Now, something I want to state that's very important, because I myself went so far the other way because, you know, I was in an ashram, I was in a meditation school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the thing is, we all have to know, we came here to help repair. The world is a dirty place, whatever that means, okay? But we're here to uncover the light. So what happens, so many of us, when we get involved in spirituality, we're like, oh, the negative vibes, I don't want to come near this and this, that, you know, et cetera. Yeah, and we actually get paranoid, psychically paranoid.
Yeah.
Listen, we're stronger than that. It's on, and I know it sounds like I've just contradicted myself, but what I mean by that is, good. It's not to willingly go to it, but if we're there, look, if we're there to make a call to somebody who's ill, right? I mean, I remember myself, like with the school, it was like, oh my God, you don't want to go there, negative energy, you know what I mean? Or if people, you know, on and on and on. No, by you going in to help somebody, it actually helps to grow the light of your soul. So one of the things that we are commanded to do, which is in Kabbalah, in Judaism, which is very hard, is to judge others favorably. And we can say, well, how can we judge others favorably? You know, they just went in and did the craziest thing. How do we judge? So one of the things is we have to go back, and believe me, for me to have to judge others favorably, I'm working on this too. But you go back and you realize the soul is from God. It's perfect. It's the outside choices that built over time. We'll call it the schmutz, the dirt. The dirt is damaging the soul and buried it. So while we don't have to, you know, interact with that person, especially if they're, you know, really toxic, but to judge them favorably, meaning that somehow we have to have compassion and realize, okay, they made a lot of poor choices, and that's why they're doing this craziness. So it's the opposite of saying there, and I know because I myself was, you know, being involved in the school, and my book gets into this. Oh, they're eating meat, they're doing this, they're doing that, etc. And meanwhile, what were they doing? Were they saving a life? I was a vegetarian for a really long time. Now I have to say, I eat chicken, I eat fish, and I had to, thank God. Yeah. And
I'm with you. I did the same thing. 27 years, and now I'm... Oh, Tiger, have to have you back. We're out of time right now.
Thank you for having me.
3D, 4, yes, and your book sounds amazing, Intuition.
It's available. Yeah, it's available on Amazon. Go on. Intuition,
okay,
Language of the Soul. Yeah, and my website is Tiger Khan, TYGERKAHN.com.
Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence and your insight as well as wisdom. Appreciate it. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, everyone, to recap, that was Tiger Khan. You can find out more information by going to tigerkhan.com, TYGERKAHN. What a wonderful program. And everyone in the chat, you were amazing. Such insights. And just holding the space, just allowing the space. Okay, as always, for everything Awakenings, if you guest suggestions, topic suggestions, if you have email questions that you'd like answered, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. Keep the comments and the opinions coming. I love them. Send them to me. I read them all. And I love you all for being inspired and feisty and speaking your truth. That's the way of the soul. I love it. And also, if you want to get on the monthly list for the energetic happenings and forecast, you can also email awakeningspodcast@gmail.com or info@soulplayground.com. Oh, as all, whew, lots of love and light to all of you. See you next week.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.